people is that everything is based upon performance. Listen, ungodly people want performance. It's not based upon gratitude or how hard you work to do it. It's based upon performance. And same thing with ungodly man, ungodly woman, either way. They're rarely satisfied with the efforts or the desires to help someone. It's all about performance. Not gratitude, performance. It's about good job. You know, you did it good. And if we're not careful, what happens is we negate the effort that people do when we critique them on performance. You know, I've tried it, again, sitting down to eat, and when my mother would cook, and she's an awesome cook, my mama can take a veal cutlet and make it taste better than any T-bone steak you ever. I don't know how she cooks, because she has no recipe but up here, you know, and she can cook up some. But if it didn't taste good, too good, I don't think she'll ever hear that I said, "Mama, I don't like this. Mama, this doesn't taste good. Mama, this is too salty. This is too cold. This is too hot." I don't think she ever heard that out of me, because I was always grateful that she took the time to do it. And so I pay attention to what other people's efforts that they put into something, so that I don't burst. You see what I'm saying? Because they're trying to please me, and then what happens is I pop their bubble, and I'm angry, and we're both hurt. Now watch. Because if you're not careful, when you try to please yourself, it's based upon performance and not upon effort. Okay. And what happens is you risk destroying relationships. If I keep doing this to my mother, keep doing this, she'll say, "Well, look, just go to McDonald's if you want to." Okay. And what happens is, when we seek to please ourselves, also we become fashion chasers, and we become we follow whatever Hollywood does, because it's all based on performance, what we look like in the sight of others. And when there were baggy pants, we were wearing baggy pants because we didn't want to be stand out, you know. And when then they went to the what do they call it, the boot cut, and then the slim cut, and no cut, and whatever. They just follow whatever the fashion is. That's what we do. The problem with chasing fashion is it always changes. Anytime you chase vanity, it'll fool you. It will fool you, and you'll be the fool, you see. So you can't chase those things to please yourself or to please others. Just be who you are. Amen. I got to tell y'all this. I got a few minutes. I went to a church, and I wasn't preaching. I just went there to pray and to listen and the preacher. And I went to the prayer room, and I got my head down like y'all do, you know. And I got my head up, but my eyes are open. You know how y'all do that? You know. And I was laying there praying. I mean, had my head down, and I saw a guy walk by, and all I could see was his shoes. Brother, I'm telling you, they looked that long. They looked like, and bless his heart, he that's like Brother Charlie always says, bless his little heart. You know, instead of walking like this where you bent, they would walk like this. It's like you had on snowshoes or something, you know, like those things you go skiing in. Because they couldn't bend them. They were so long. And for a minute, Lord, I thought that Peter Pan had took the seven dwarfs from Snow White or something. Because I looked and I said, my God, that must be a tall man. I look at this little old boy about like this. And then another guy came by, and he had on them boots too like that. They're about that long. You know, and you keep following fashion. And I thought, when I first saw the first one, I said, he's probably the laughing stock of the church. No, I'm the one that still got the old blunt toad, you know. And so, but when you follow fashion, when that's no longer in favor, I dare you to wear that again. You see? And so what happens is we're seeking to please somebody else when you do that. And I'm not saying that we need to be a spectacle and be so old fashioned that we stick out that way either, okay? But the problem is that many times when you seek to please yourself, you say, boy, if I just had, and I've used this example before, so bear with me. Y'all already forgot, I'm sure. But it's like when you start going to church, you know, you was in the world, you start going to church, and you young man, and you see people, you know, the pastor's wearing a suit and a tie and coat, and you say, man, I'd like to get me a suit and a tie and a coat, but you really can't afford much of a suit and a tie and a coat, so you go to the cheapest place you can, maybe Goodwill, and you get you one tie and a coat, and you know, and you wear it to church, and everybody's, whoa, you look nice, and you feel nice too, you know, you feel good about yourself and everything, but
you know, I can't wear it again Tuesday night because that's the same thing I wore Monday night. So I'll skip a few nights so nobody knows that I'm wearing the same thing. So you wait a few nights, you know, but you feel like, man, I just need me another one. If I just had me one more. See what happens? You get that one, it's called quantity. And so you start, well, I just need one more. So when you get one more, then, if I could just get me one, I'd have three. Then if I had three, I'd probably be satisfied. But then you get three and you're not satisfied with that either. And then what happens is when quantity has been satisfied, I've got one for every service for the whole month, then quality slips in. See, once you have now enough of something, then you say, I'm going to get a better car now. See, all I wanted was wheels to start with. Now I got to get a better car. And when you start chasing quality, you're headed the wrong direction. See, because those wheels are just wheels. That coat is just a coat. And I don't mind telling you, this came from Men's Warehouse. And I'm not faulting anybody if they get it from any other place. But you never asked me, so where'd you get your coat from? If it's priced right, I'll buy it. No matter what I can afford. But we got to be careful that we don't chase quality because that is a people pleaser thing. That is trying to say, look what I drive, look what I wear, look what I live, look at all these things. And not that you can have wrong to have good things. But when you buy them for the wrong purpose, it's not pleasing to God. Because we are trying to please men rather than pleasing God. Can I still sit with y'all a little longer? Okay. So, on this line of pleasing others, it's kind of like a two-sided coin because there's some good and some bad that can come out of it, meaning that we should seek to please others. But when we seek to please others and they're not grateful for you trying to please them, you have to guard that you don't get yourself. Okay? And number three, seeking to please God. Seeking to please God. Seek to please myself. Seek to please others. And then seeking to please God. And contrary to what people believe, seeking God is easy. I mean, you go try to please people all you want to. I'll try to please God over people any day. Any day. Because pleasing God, he's easy to please. Because he's not looking at performance. He's looking at faithfulness. He's looking at believing. He's looking at trust. He's looking at your heart. And it's not based upon performance. Yes, faith without works is dead. But when you have faith, you will do the works. You see? So it's based upon believing. So that we first believe. And then the works will automatically come. But if you don't believe, you work all you want to. You'll never be saved with works. So all that God requires is faith because if you have faith, then the rest of this will automatically come. So Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently means faithfully seek him. God is so pleased with your faith that he starts rewarding you. Do you see that in the scripture? He's so pleased with your faith that now he starts rewarding you with these other things that you're not even asking for. So it's much easier for me to please God to get those other things than it is for me to seek those other things and them destroy me. So faithfulness is easy to do because God wants to give you good things. Do you know that the scripture says he won't withhold any good thing from his children? And he compared it. He said, if your son asked you for an egg, would you give him a serpent? If he asked you for bread, would you give him a stone? He said, how much more does your heavenly Father enjoy giving you good gifts? It's all based upon you believing in him. It's not based upon how many times you weeded the yard or paid your tithes or any of those things. It's based upon believing in him. Hallelujah. However, the people that God seemed to have a difficult time with was people that believe him sporadically. I believe you today, I don't believe you tomorrow. I trust you today, but I don't trust you tomorrow. That's not faithfulness. That's not faithfulness. He said, I would that you were hot or cold. Either don't trust me or trust me. Be faithful or don't be faithful. Come to church or don't go to church. Don't cuss in your mind, not cuss with your mouth. I'd rather you let it go out and know that you, and everybody know you're a sinner, than to hold it in your mind and not, are you understanding?
God likes faithfulness. And one of the scriptures said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things that would please you, they come to you. They come into existence. For the Bible says in Proverbs 16 and 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. My, my, my. When a man's ways, he tells the enemy, back off. This man pleases me. This guy's got faith. Abraham walked through that pit. I mean, you look at Abraham's walk through all that. Did you? I mean, Abraham was, he was the guy to be feared. Why? He pleased God. Why? He had faith in God. That's why he pleased God. And every place he went, they didn't want to mess with Abraham. And they came and got Lot. You remember that story? They came and got Lot and kidnapped him. Abraham went, and I don't know how many soldiers he had. He didn't even mention them. He went with God. And you know what happened? He goes and conquers three kings. Three kings. And he takes all their substance because it pleased God. And this is where tithing came in. He came back and paid the first tithing to the order of Melchizedek. Why? He pleased God. Hallelujah. My, my, my. Let me sit with you a little bit longer. And so when a man's ways pleases the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. Now watch John 8 and 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Not until you do that, you won't know. You know, the rocks break and the wind blew and it thundered. And they said, surely this is the Son of God. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always the things that please him. Wow. Everything I do is what he says. I'm all about pleasing him. I'm all about helping him. I'm all about the kingdom of God. And I believe that's the way I am. That's the way you ought to be. We all are. I just want to please him. Because if I please him, my enemies are at peace with me. You're at peace with me. I'm at peace with myself. Because if I please God, I don't have to worry about pleasing nobody else. Because if God is pleased with me, that's all that matters. My, my, my. So, and he spake these things, many believed on him. See, when he said that, I do these things because my Father sent me, I want to please him. When he spake those words, well, many people believed on him right then and there. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye now continue in my word, what I just told you, then you shall be my disciples indeed. If you seek, you do just what I said. That's what they believed. Okay, he was sent of the Father. He's going to please him. You do that, and you shall be my disciples indeed. You'll be just like me. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. How many of you like to be free? Let me tell you, free dogs don't bark. You don't see dogs going down the road. You don't see them going down the road doing that are free. It's the ones in the pen. Come on. It's the ones in the pen. And people that are in the pen bark all the time. They need that bark collar that I got for my dogs. I have an extra one. Anybody wants to borrow? When you believe in something and you have faith in something and you have faith in God, it brings freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you believe in, you cannot grow if you don't believe. If I don't believe I can pass algebra, I'll never pass algebra. If I don't believe I can live for God, I'll never live for God. If I don't believe I'm going to be successful, I'll never. Because you end up with where you believe. That's where you end up, is where you believe. If you don't believe you can do it, that's where you end up. Right where you believe. And so when you look at the life of Joseph, he believed in his dream. He believed in his dream. Some way, somehow. Oh, I tell you, I just read about Joseph. I get all stirred up. I get emotional when I read about that guy because he was just like Christ. He was the Christ of the Old Testament. He went through all kinds of pain and opened not his mouth. He was free in the pit.
He was free in the palace. He was free in the dungeon. He was free wherever he went because he believed in his dream. Hallelujah. You've got to believe that the end result, that there is an expected end as written in Jeremiah to all those that believe on. He said, I have plans for you with an expect. I believe that. And if I believe that, then I can grow into that. But if you don't believe that, you won't grow into that. My. I'm almost through sitting with you. I want to warn everybody tonight to never quit believing in yourself. Paul said, I can do all things, but only through Christ who strengthens me. Never quit believing in your own capabilities. Never say, I can't do it. Just say, I may not do it now. We were made in his image, and all things are possible to them that what? Believe. If you quit believing, you can't do it. But if you believe, then you can do it. And I work with a lot of people, and they have wills, and I work with wills with people. If y'all get ready to sing tonight, your will is what you believe in, right? When you will something, that's what you believe in. You write your what you believe in. That's what a will is. I write, I want this child to get this. I want this child to get. That's what you believe in. And you write out your will because that's what you believe in. And when your will lines up with his will, it happens. But you know why, Brother Valentine, a will is not valid until you die? Because you can keep changing your will. Johnny's not treating me good now. Take him, cut him a little bit. Alice is treating me better. Add 5% more, Mr. Baggett. Oh, I got to see this stuff all the time. And you see, so your will's not really your will until something is dead. I got to tell you this. So as long as you got something kicking in the flesh that's alive, you keep changing your will. You keep changing your desire. You keep changing your what you said you were so sure about. Now, I'm not so sure about that. You keep changing. But a will, when the testator dies, it's over with, honey. It's going to be executed. And the same thing true. We need to put some things in the flesh, let it be dead. This, I am here. Hallelujah. I have arrived. Amen. Nothing shall separate me from Christ. Not principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Because my flesh is dead. I don't want the world. I don't want nothing to do with the world. I'm staying right here. And when you make up your mind, that's my will, then his will coincides with my will. Count it done. Count it done. Count it done. But as long as we keep changing our will, then we keep meeting disappointment. We need to let our word, what we say, be forever settled in heaven like the word of God is. We need to be committed to church, to each other, to living for Christ. Even God looked down upon Jesus when he was baptized of John the Baptist. You remember when he came to Jordan, John said, oh no, suffer it not to be. He said, you need to baptize me. And the Lord said, Jesus said, no, but let it be to fulfill all righteousness. And John baptized him, and as soon as he came out of the water, the Bible says, and straightway the heavens opened, and a voice came from heaven, and what did it say? This is my beloved, and who I am. He pleased me. He pleased me. Then he said, hear ye him. When you please God, you'll get everybody else's attention. But when you don't please God, you don't have anybody's attention. Hear ye him. And John the Baptist knew that Christ was committed to the cross. Behold the Lamb of God that is committed to the cross, who taketh away, committed to the cross. You know, we got good singers up here. We got good singers, good players. But you know what? I don't know about this church, a lot of churches. There's better singers and better players sitting on the pew. You know why? They're not committed. They're not committed. But I'd rather have committed folks than performance. Performance won't last, but commitment will be there tomorrow, the next day, the next week. It's going to be here. I like commitment. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. I'm through sitting with you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.